Hello and welcome to the podcast edition of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, reviews, previews, and interviews about baseball literature, movies, music, photos, and collectibles. You know our slogan, if it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. So visit us at ronkaplansbaseballbookshelf.com. Well, hello again, everybody. This is your host, Ron Kaplan, proprietor of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf. It had been my hope to produce these podcasts on a more regular basis, and I still think that it's a possibility down the line. And in an attempt to make amends, you have to start someplace. So hopefully this will be the first of many more regular podcasts to come. One of the projects I've recently taken on is appearing as a guest on the internet radio program What's on Second. It's a program about baseball discussion generally, and I'm usually on for the last 15 minutes or so. The show is aired on the internet at blogtalkradio.com at 9 o'clock Eastern Time on Monday nights, and the hosts are usually quite genial, and I hope you'll give a listen at some point. Each week we discuss a different aspect of baseball books. One week it was, and not just baseball books, baseball as would be on the bookshelf, magazines, DVDs, whatnot. We had a discussion recently about the meaningfulness or lack thereof for baseball annual publications that are still being published in magazine form, and what role do they have these days when you can pretty much get much more up-to-date information online. But we'll be talking about the new biographies that are coming out. There'll be a program, no doubt, about Joe DiMaggio's the anniversary of his 56-game hitting streak this year. There'll be more discussion about the Hall of Fame as we get closer to the Cooperstown inductions in the summertime. So, again, give a listen. It's Monday night, Blog Talk Radio at 9 o'clock. One of the problems facing Major League Baseball today is the lack of younger fans. Well, today's guest hopes that he'll have something to do with bringing them back to the ballpark by building interest at a very young age. We're going to be talking with Richard Michelson, author of the new children's book Lippman Pike, America's First Home Run King, with illustrations by Zachary Pullen and published by Sleeping Bear Press.
Richard, welcome to the bookshelf.
Oh, thank you very much, Ron.
So, why Lippman Pike? I mean, he's not exactly a Babe Ruth or a Jackie Robinson. What is about him?
He's unknown, but in many ways he almost is, one of our first heroes. And it struck me how unappreciated he is. You mentioned Babe Ruth. In fact, when Lip, who was the home run king the first two seasons of professional baseball, and of course we're talking about whole different whole different numbers then. He won the crown in 1871 with four home runs and followed it up with six the next year. But we do have to remember too that there was no outside the park home run at that time. Everything was a inside the parker, so the numbers start to look a little bit better then. If you look at his first year there, he actually hit and hit 17, over 17% of the total home runs in the entire league. And that wasn't bested until 1920 when Babe Ruth hit 20% of all the home runs in the league in 1920. And I owe some of these stats to Robert Schaefer, who's a wonderful historian of baseball. If you bring that to today, where most of the players hit about 2% of, even the best players, 2 or 3% of the league, he was pretty well up there. And I'll just throw out an aside that the only other player ever to be in double digits was Hank Greenberg. Mm. So we've got two of the three. But Lip came to my attention. I did a book earlier called A is for Abraham, A Jewish Family Alphabet, where I was challenged to pick, in a sense, for each letter, the 26 most important things that you would need to know for children about Jewish history. And I was, looking to include a section on sports and, of course, Koufax, who has popped into now two or three of my books, was the way to go. But because I was doing research at the time and deciding who to add into that book, I came across the name of LePike. And it was astounding to me that I had never heard the name, and I asked around. And most of, I'm not a big baseball guy, I have to admit, I'm more of interested in the history, but I was surprised how few people did know him. And considering that he was, our first real superstar, I thought it was time to spread the word.
Now, what age group is this book aimed at?
Most of my kids' books, I think they're marketed to about 5 to 9 or so, right in that range. But I think the secret, the dirty little secret, is that we sell as many to adults as we do to kids, and hopefully it's a book that a whole family can enjoy.
Well, certainly the artwork is accessible for everyone, and it's got the big caricatures that the kids love and the old-time flavor.
It was illustrated by Zachary Pullen, who's a wonderful artist and has done, done very well and won awards for a number of his books. So it was wonderful for me to see the work.
Now, how did that collaboration work? You also represent a bunch of artists, correct?
In my day job, I have an art gallery where I handle the original work of a lot of fairly well-established artists and illustrators, among the Jewish crowd. Most people would be familiar with Leonard Baskin, whose career I handled, Maurice Sendak, Jules Pfeiffer, both their works, Leonard Nimoy, who's a photographer instead of an actor, also does a lot of Judaica work. But when it comes time to illustrating my own books, I have to say that I have no say in the matter. I sell my stories to the publisher, and they choose the illustrator. And that's the way it works in the industry. When I'm done with a story, I let it go, and I don't see it again until it comes back to me pretty much in book form.
So I'm not up on the vernacular, but is an illustrator someone who makes drawings specifically to go with words?
The text. Mm-hmm. Yep. Uh-huh.
So, I mean, because an illustrator is an artist, but an artist is not always an illustrator.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay.
Right. An illustrator is taking text into account when they're doing their work, where an artist is generally, creating the seed to begin with themselves.
So how much of the book on Lippman Pike is your research, and how much is kind of poetic license?
I tell you, it's always a fine line. In fact, I have a couple of talks I give on called How Much Fiction Fits into a Nonfiction Picture Book. Most of it is researched. Because I'm creating a story, the words between the family members, I'm putting words in their mouth, per se, but the setting, the facts of the book have to be pure to the time, and and in general, factually it's correct. But certainly, I'm creating characters because we have no record of how Lip and his brother interacted. His dad did have a store. We know that. We know, I read most of the Brooklyn Eagles from the 1870s, the newspapers, to get a sense of the time, what was going on. I researched as much as I could about Lip, and then also researched other Jews in that time period. One of the things we had to come to terms with were just simply as, would the boys have been wearing yarmulkes in their store, or when they played outdoors, or even little errors that I made and later had to correct myself when I did research Lip's father had a haberdashery, and we know he worked in the store. I originally had him standing working the cash register, but in fact, the cash register wasn't invented until 3 or 4 years after Lip was working the cash register at his dad's store, so he had to change that, and go through it in that way.
The devil is in the details.
Exactly. But as far as the facts of the matter go, they generally need to be correct.
And so, you figure it's a kid's book, so some people might have the mistaken notion that there's not that much that goes into it. How long did it take you to complete this?
Generally, I'll work on a book for about a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
I also do write for adults, and I can tell you that that writing for children is not easier as far as, a project goes. In many ways, it can be more difficult because you really need to boil everything down so much to the essentials. There's a apocryphal kind of saying that I'm sorry this letter is so long, I didn't have time to be brief. One of the hardest things that I have to do when writing children's books, and I, have done a number, is that after you're done researching, I knew so much about the period and so much about early baseball. I started out knowing nothing about it. That you want to put everything you've learned into the book so that people know how smart you are and how much work you did. And then you have to start taking it out. And there's always some wonderful facts that end up coming out, like the one I started this interview with about the percentage that Lip hit. You have all these facts, but they break up the story. And the story is paramount, and it's what is going to bring the kids to the book, and they have to identify with the character. So all these tidbits end up, coming out. When I start writing the book, it tends to be, 20, 30 times longer, and then it's a matter of whittling it away.
So could you in turn that around and make it a book for older children?
You could.
Or even adults.
Or adults, and certainly I think there is a book still waiting to be written on Lip on that time period on Jews in early sports. I am more of a storyteller than a researcher,
mm-hmm.
although I love the research. I'm not a scholar. I have lots of books that I'm working on and lots of things I want to do. I think this could very well, be Lip's life is something I hope somebody else tackles someday. This is an introduction. I hope it'll get kids interested in Lip, in early baseball, in Jews in early sports times, and then they'll go on to other sources or other people will say, hey, I want to look at this further.
And that was our conversation with Richard Michelson, author of the new children's book, Lipman Pike, America's First Home Run King, illustrated by Zachary Pullen and published by Sleeping Bear Press. And that'll do it for this week's edition of the Bookshelf Podcast, but check back real soon because we've got some really great guests lined up. We'll be talking with Bill White, former ball player, Yankee broadcaster, and National League president, about his new memoir, Uppity. We'll also be speaking with Jimmy Breslin, former newspaper columnist, about his biography about Branch Rickey. We've also got a two-part conversation with sports broadcaster Bob Costas, so don't miss that. Remember, you can subscribe to the Bookshelf Podcast on iTunes and visit us regularly at ronkaplansbaseballbookshelf.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again real soon.